Good afternoon, Truth Wins teams. Good to be with you. The Bible Code Unveiled.
The Bible Code Unveiled. Well, I remember years ago buying the book called The Bible Code from this Jewish guy. And it seemed like, you know, you could figure it out after the fact. You couldn't figure it out ahead of time. Isn't that what it was, kind of, decided?
Well, probably it's always that way, because unless you're given the gift of prophecy...
Unless you know the Holy Spirit.
Well, unless you know the gift of prophecy, you generally don't know what the book's going to say. But we're going to give you a new slant.
They're going to give you an insight here.
New slant on the Bible Code. But first, we'll start off with prayer.
Thank you, Father. We praise your holy name. We praise your holy name in everything we do. We thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Father, for this production. Thank you, Father, for your revelation, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, and everything we do. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit directs our path and the Word of God directs our path so that we're able to be kings in life and priests before you. And whatsoever we ask shall come to fruition because we speak according to the Word of God. And our lives become more than we could imagine. We ask this now in the name of Jesus, the name of all names. Amen.
Amen.
And we all said amen.
Amen. So we're going to start off with our first scripture. It's kind of revealing, and then we'll kind of tie all the things together.
It says in 1 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance, something said or included, the thought and all knowledge.
Right. So what I'm going to show you is what I did. I looked up the word... what word did I look up? I looked up the word utterance because I thought, what does utterance mean? Well, to go there, and in this case, we're in Corinthians, so we go to the Strong's Concordance, and it would be in Greek, right?
Right.
So we'll look at this. This is the Greek. If you go to Strong's, first look it up, it would be the number G3056. And this is for utterance, and it says something said by implication, a topic or discourse, also reasoning, the mental faculty or motive by examination, computation. Anyway, it goes on, and you can read it, and you can go to your Strong's. You can get it on your phone. This is just off my phone, and I use my camera to take a picture of it. But if I want to learn a little bit more, on the definition, it said it came from G3004. So I clicked on it because it's a lot of the words are like stacked upon each other. And it's going on to say a primary verb, probably to lay forth, that is figuratively relate, generally refer to individual expression of speech. So God gives you what to say. And then I didn't go all the way on down because I could have gone to G2036 and just kept going and going, but our show doesn't allow us to do it. So when we see utterance, we can look down in the King James Version on the first one, G3056. King James Version, it means a word, a saying, a count, a speech, a word, a thing. Miscellaneous, okay? And then if we go over to the next one, it says say, speak, call, tell. And so we see what the meaning of the word is. But it's kind of interesting. Up at the top, it says something said, including a thought. So that's kind of an interesting thing for us to know. God should be giving us our thoughts. We shouldn't be thinking just anything. It's like Jesus showed us how to live. He said, I only did what the Father told me to do, what the Father said. So there it's showing you really, we're supposed to be thinking what God wants us to think, only doing what God and saying what God wants. So we'll go on.
It says in the word that we have the mind of Christ.
Right, so, and it says Christ gives us this. So right. We're going to want the mind of Christ. So let's go on to our next scripture and see what else we can learn about things to say and like how we're undoing the Bible code. So I wanted you to notice I took the word. I guess I'm going to click back up here. I took the word utterance. And I gone to strong. So if I look there, I said that something given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all you said, including your thoughts. So you get rid of utterance and you get a new meaning kind of to what that verse says.
Well, it's parallel, but it isn't.
It gives a deeper
a new meaning. It's a more precise meaning.
Right. So you can take words and take them out and then put in what the definition is. And it gives you kind of, it's like the Bible code. It's uncovering what is actually said. Might be a second layer you never thought of.
Yeah, like the Jews said, the sages went through the Word of God as the layers of meanings and how they relate to each other and all
right,
that.
Kind of like an onion. Yeah, because onions, if you ever went to cut an onion, you'd see there's layers as you peel it apart.
Upon layer.
Right, so we're going to go on to our next thing, and let's see what do you think of this.
It says John 17:17. Sanctify them, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth.
Right. So let's say you didn't know what sanctified means. So you look it up, it means set apart. So it's saying there, when God gives us truth, we're set apart from other people because we know the truth and the truth sets us free. So that's the important part. So like we're teaching you how to study the Bible. It's great to read the Bible, but sometimes you have to dig in, look at the true meaning, go back to the original language, and you might get a new understanding because God's going to give us the truth. So that's the
big, and when you meditate on it, the Holy Spirit will speak to you like your intuition, your understanding comes more quickened.
Right, let's see. I'm not sure I'm going to click here. Oh, yes, right. There's an interesting saying. Let's see what this is.
First Samuel 17:1. Now, this is profound. Now, the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socoh and Azriah. In Ephes Damimim.
Yes, and we aren't actually.
Hopefully, I said it right.
Oh, we aren't Hebrew scholars, so
of
we.
Those places.
Yeah, so we might not have said them. And looking at that, does that really mean anything to you? Probably not too much.
Well, you'd have to know the context before and after that. Who was there and all that?
Yeah, but it really
was that David.
It was with David and the Philistines, but it really doesn't mean very much to us at this time. But if we go to our Strong's Concordance, and we're going to show you, we went to the Strong's Concordance, we took different words in this verse. So we took like, say, now the Philistines, we went and took and got the word Philistine and came up with what it is. So
yeah,
we're going to show you this.
Yeah, it says that gives the numbers of those words in the Hebrew. It says Philistines, which means inhabitants of Gaza Strip and Lebanon. And gather means assembled for a purpose to destroy. Battle, a battle that is the engagement of war. Gathered, assembled. Soko, which means fence. Azriah. To grub.
Hezkiah? No,
Hezkiah.
Who knows? Anyway.
To grub over, asking to the point of being troublesome. Ephes, dam, mim. Boundary of blood drops, ends, and blood sheddeth.
Thirsty.
I'm sorry.
We did have bloodshed there before. We changed it. So he's doing when I was looking up the words in Strong's. There's lots of words, but we were just... So that kind of gives you a different definition because like Philistines, like right now, doesn't mean much to you, but the inhabitants of the Gaza Strip and Lebanon
are the Romans changed the word Philistine to Palestine. Those people are the same people. The Philistines and the Palestinians are the same people.
Right, that are the descendants of Goliath. So now we're going to take the verse and give you like a way different way. We kind of are going to have it two ways. And this is the Bible code unveiled. Because we're going to take the word and we're going to replace it with the definitions. And then you're going to see a whole different message
for today.
It was prophetic for then.
It's prophetic for today because things, you hear that, there is scripture that says that things that happened are unveiled for now.
Right, history repeats itself. So we're going to look at this. So the very top one, which Randy's going to read to you, is when we've replaced the words, which you can see below where they were, and in the capital letters, what I wanted is the words we replaced in the saying above. So I'll let Randy read this.
Now the immigrants who inhabited the Gaza Strip in the Lebanon assembled their armies for a purpose to destroy in a battle that is an engagement of war at the Fitz, which belongs to Judah, to ask to the point of being troublesome where blood drops, as they are bloodthirsty.
Right, so that now you think, what happened at
December 10th?
No, it's October 7th.
October 7th, that's what
right.
It is.
Right, we see the inhabitants
of Gaza?
Gaza and Lebanon attacked Israel. They were having trouble, they were not getting along, and they attacked, and there was bloodshed. And it's so interesting. Now, you might go see, I think why I put that there, this is prophetic. Like, why would God have put that way back? Because it's really referring to the time of David and Goliath, and it now fits for now. And people are going, well, why? Why did God do this? Why is God letting these people die? Why is God doing this? Why? Everybody always wants to blame God. But really, it's not God who's doing it. Man, on his own ways, decides what he wants to do, and he does what he wants. We're going to add another verse to this to give you kind of some insight, some more insight.
It says in Numbers 33:55, but if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be
pricks
in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell.
Wow, was that prophetic too?
So, yeah, that is prophetic.
So that's showing us that God, like we went back up to the very first verse, it says Jesus Christ gives us the right words to save and the right words to think. And then we're supposed
to... Right, we have to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So when he says, oh, look up a certain verse, you look it up and then
use the Strong's concordance and
dissect it, meditate on it, understand what it's saying for today.
Right, but what another point I had is really God gave instructions that, well, if you go, I've read through Kings, we're in Chronicles, and we see God gave really specific instructions to Israel, what to do and what not to do. And we'll see kings who will be good, and they'll do what God wants, and God prospers them. And then they do what they want, they worship Baal, they kill babies, they take things in their own hand, and God steps back. God doesn't do it, God steps back, and Satan steps in, and then there's death and killing and murder that everybody seems to want to blame on God because they don't want to be their fault. God didn't do it.
God didn't command them not to get rid of these people or move them away so they have no part of your life.
Right, because we see every time Israel let all the kings married into like the Egyptians or whatever, which God suggested they not do because that would bring corruption into their family, because we want to keep our family pure.
Well,
and they brought it in, and then, whoa.
Saul didn't take care of business when God said do it. And then David kind of did it, but he didn't really complete it.
Right. And so
and then all the kings after that, they just kind of like, you know, didn't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit through the word of God, through the prophets and all that about what they needed to do.
Right. But what I'm really bringing for is the Bible code unveiled is it's for us today.
Right.
Because if we're doing things, I had a pastor I love, his name was Kent, and he was very wise in the sense that it was time to vote on things, and he was thinking in his own mind, and I don't really want to, we're not trying to get political.
No.
So I'm not even going to say what he was thinking about, but he was thinking, well, he would have voted this way concerning something, but he went, God said no, as far as what we're allowed to do. And he goes, I don't know why God said no, but I know if God said no, then the no is no.
No
is
no.
If God said yes, the yes is yes. So if God said, don't be a drunkard, let's say that, because that's not political.
I mean, everybody would agree with that. Don't be a drunkard.
Right. So everybody, both sides, both parties can be drunkards. And God said, don't do that. It will be your destruction. And so, yes, maybe having one drink is fun, but when you become a drunkard, it ruins your family, it ruins your health.
Right.
And so God's telling you no.
Don't be addicted to it.
Not because he wants you to not have a good life. He does want you to have a good life. So you go to him, what can I do that's fun, that's not destructive like being an alcoholic? So he might say, well, you can go to the lake and go fishing and catch a fish and be out in the beauty that I created.
Right. I'll give you a boat. You can go cruise around and fish.
Right. Or you can go bowling, or you could paint a picture, because we have a beautiful picture. We have many pictures behind us. We change them out. That one that's the angel my daughter happened to do when she was in high school in her art class. And I belong to an art group, and the eye that's over there is the I is the candle of the Lord, and so I like that picture too. And there's lots of art you can do. You can do all kinds of things that are free, because you can't even say, oh, well, I don't have any money, but I have enough for a two-bottle. Well, I don't even know if it's a $2 bottle of wine. I don't know.
I think it's
I don't really,
change cost.
It probably
now.
Is a $10 bottle of wine, so you might want to give up your wine. I don't know. But
yeah,
two-buck chuck that they used to have at Trader Joe's could be 10
isn't there anymore. It's not two-buck chuck anymore.
It's 10-buck chuck or something.
Yeah.
But so if you don't have money, there's lots of things. You can go for a walk. You could just sit down with a box of crayons and color a picture, write a letter to a friend, call someone. Yeah, go out in nature, go play tennis, walk your dog. There's all kinds
right.
of things you can do, and God will direct your thing. But if we do what we're told to by God, like God would say, a good thing maybe in the morning is get up and pray and read your Bible, even if
Amen.
It's just a few minutes.
Don't let the word of God depart before your eyes.
Right, get up and do that. I think also a message from this thing, which is something we always say, is we'll go back up to it. I'll go... Oops, stroll. That's not where I want to go. It's way up here. That it says God gives us utterances. And I think that's the key thing that we need to know. God is giving us something to say and something to think about. And we need to be thinking God's way. And if it isn't God's way, for example, voting, because I don't really want to choose which side, but look at the simplest way is to look at the party's platform, go, okay, they vote for this or they vote for that. What does God think about this? Not what do you think about it. What is God? Does God approve of this or does God not approve of it? And I learned this at a UOP camp, University of Pacific camp. You write a list, the pros here, the cons here, and you determine which one. Nothing is ever perfect. Probably both parties are not perfect. But which one represents God the best? Because you want to vote the way God wants you to vote. It's not
Amen.
The way you want to vote. So I say be sure to go out and vote. Be sure to pray about it before you go vote. Look at the things. Really study them. See if it's... Because I think in times past, they Well, for example, in California, we're coming up, which is probably getting political, but most of the people know that we've been having a problem in California with people running in department stores and doing gang robberies, like, or group robberies, like a flash robbery. And we don't like that because that's going to cause prices to go up.
And they get away with it because the law says if it's less than $1,000, you can just do it. You're not indicted for it.
Right. And so originally we may have thought, well, if three strikes, you know, that's too harsh. But we see that God says, do not steal, which is one of the Ten Commandments, although we're redeemed from the curse of the law. But it didn't mean the law went away. We aren't supposed to steal because you wouldn't want someone to come in your house and steal your products or your bed, your house, your car. And no one wants it. And then when things are stolen, businesses go out. So now we have a choice. I think as a kind heart, we're said we're supposed to love our neighbor and our brother and not judge. But it's not really
judging. We have the
right
to judge this situation.
Well, it's not really judging. It's wisdom. Wisdom tells us that if you allow people to steal and there's no consequence, it's not a good thing. So we don't want people stealing.
Well, God said don't steal. So if you steal, whether you're a good guy or a bad guy in the world sense.
Right. You don't need to steal.
You're disobeying the word of God.
Right. Well, and if you're hungry, there's food closets and things. I think what they're stealing, we've heard people that work in pharmacies had people come steal drugs just because they're marketing drugs. No, yeah, we're not going to go through the whole story.
Not going to go to that. A kid comes in with a gun and says, well, give me the
No, we're not going through
drugs.
That. They go in and they're stealing Louis Vuitton purses that they don't have to have. It's just greed. And so we want to look. I think we get sold. We have to be very careful when we vote that it's saying, oh, this will do good or this will go bad. But ultimately, somebody has to pay for the decisions we make. So if we say, let's say we say we're going to plant a tree in front of everyone's house. Well, who's paying for that tree? That's the question. The tree's not going to be planted for free.
Yeah, nothing's for free.
Well, unless maybe some billionaire donates trees to the whole city, but most likely, and maybe not everybody wants a tree, and what tree do they want? And so it's very complicated. So we just say, before you vote, pray. Also, when you read your Bible, pray. If you don't understand a word like utterance,
ask the Lord. You have a method right now. You have the Strong's Concordance.
Right, and it's free. You can put it on your phone or on your
computer. It's on the phone. It's an app.
Right, and let's say you don't know what utterance means and really don't understand it. And it's like, he'll give you the right things to say and think. And you go, well, I know what say and think are. I didn't know what utterance was. So we want you to know you can do that. And then also, like Randy said, you can pray. And God could give you a specific verse like the one in 1 Samuel 17, I believe, mm-hmm. chapter 1. Well, it goes, I think it's verse 1. And that was the strange verse that we had that really didn't seem like it said anything. But when you replace the words, it's almost like it was
with
forecasting.
With like meaning, not right. Replace them. You know, give it more full meaning for the situation.
Well, it was really what the true definition of the word was. Once you replace it, it's like you can see the Bible code is there. Everything foretold happened. It's like, yes, that happened with David and Goliath, but it also happened October 7th. There was that conflict. And it is sort of amazing that you can get that out of it because that's revelation from God. So we want you to have revelation. We want you to say the right words. We pray,
I'll add into this. We pray that all those people that are hostages in Israel are released some way, somehow, through God's blessing, through God's way of doing it. They all are safe and they will be able to go home.
Right, and we
in Jesus' name.
We pray for safety with the election that everyone's able to vote.
And the president's safe. Everybody's safe.
Right, everybody's safe. All the candidates are safe, and God's the one in charge. Picking
no
who
evil
it is.
Comes nigh our dwelling.
So with that, we'll say, let's see. I don't know what. Oh, today was Columbus Indigenous People Day. So celebrate your heritage, whatever it may be.
Right. And I have that blood in me. I'm a Cherokee, part Cherokee.
Right. So celebrate all your things and have a good day. And
now you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Truth wins.
Right. Remember, like and subscribe. tell your friends. I think this is a really good one to share the most of, and go back and look how we did replace the words. Like, go to your Strong's, see how it's done, and then you can do it for yourself. Right. This is like a college lesson for free.
You have to be, like I said, you don't just randomly pull out a scripture. You just, God has to reveal you the scripture that he's wanting you to dissect.
Right, but sometimes, well, that's true if it's something more prophetic like the one we showed. But sometimes you're just reading a verse like the first one that said, God give us utterance. I didn't even tell that. That's what an interesting thing. Well, I woke up in the morning and I was thinking, I don't know what to do, you know, for my lesson. And it's like I saw almost like a movie. Lots of times my thoughts are just words, but I don't really see something. But I actually saw like printing say, go to Corinthians. And I went, okay, one, and something like 1 to 5, read that. And I went, okay. And I thought, wonder what it is. I didn't even know it was going to. It's so interesting that what I always like is what we say, because we know the quantum, what we say. And so God just gave me this vision, which is kind of what prophecy is all about. He'll just tell you things. Like, I could see like 1 Corinthians, and it's kind of neat. So I think that's kind of amazing that he will tell us stuff and we'll just go, okay, I'll go look there. And whoa, it was like the lesson. I like jumped off of that. So know that God will tell you what to do, when to go, change your path, whatever. If you pray and ask him, he's got the answer. And also the other part, originally I would, instead of naming it the Bible Code Unveiled, originally I was thinking of naming it Why, because North Carolina had just happened. And I don't know all the why, but I know it's not an act of God. God is not
God
doing
is
it.
Not a destroyer.
Right. I don't know if it's because there's been hurricanes there forever. Maybe we shouldn't build homes in the path of the hurricane. I don't know if it's because people were not doing what God said to do. I'm not God. You can go ask God. But the one thing I do know is God is good and he does not do it.
As somebody else said, he is absolutely good. So right. He can't do those kind of things.
Right. God is good. But we're going to teach on that. Maybe why will be our next topic, because that was really what I was going to teach on. Like, why do things happen? But because I've gotten some verses from God that may give you eye-opening things, kind of almost prophetic or the Bible code, like why? Why are they happening? And no, it's not God. God doesn't do that. So we'll leave you with that. No, God's only going to do good. Stick with him. And even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no evil will befall you.
Right.
Anyway.
Blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the field, blessed in the city.
Right. So no, God's got good in the path for you.
I'm a doer of the word of God. I'm blessed by my deeds. I'm happy those things which I do, for I'm a doer of the words of the Lord.
Amen.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.